you're only seconds away from totally understanding your pet. All right, maybe not, but you will be smarter. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we're talking with Dennis Laidler, the education curator from Potter Park Zoo. And Rick, in this segment, Dennis has brought a little friend who's just come out of a blue box, and I'm trying to figure out what kind of animal I'm looking at, but I'm really not quite sure. So, Dennis, what am I looking at?
Well, it's called a tenrec, T-E-N-R-E-C, although when people first see it, they usually think it's a hedgehog. And in fact, a biologist would call this a classic example of convergent evolution because it's got a similar strategy for surviving as a hedgehog, spiky hair. But this animal actually is technically phylogenetically genetic. You know, it's much more closely related to an elephant than it is actually a hedgehog. So
wow.
It's pretty amazing.
That's hard to imagine. I mean, it even has like with a hedgehog and this particular character, they have an agouti look to them.
Yes.
Like the multi-color. So not only is it spined, you know, but it's also like this agouti kind of.
Yeah, very agouti. Similar in coloration.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
And if you want to go ahead and touch, just go towards the tail there. Feels sort of like a rough brush. And you say, well, how could that ever deter a predator? And the only reason that didn't hurt is because it's relaxed.
Wow.
And so when you touch it, the skin moves. If you are a predator, and basically every predator on Madagascar eats these things, they're found on the island of Madagascar, and they live in the leaf litter of the rainforest, as you might expect with a tiny nose and tiny ears and tiny eyes, it spends a lot of time burrowing in soil and leaf litter. It's got short legs and sharp claws for digging and a big nose and big whiskers for feeling and smelling its way around. But it's got a belly with no spiky hair and a face that's not protected. So if you were a predator, it'd curl up in such a tight ball. Two important things would happen. One, by curling up into a ball, it would hide the unprotected parts of the body. But that would scratch the skin so tight that just the weight of the animal, for example, if you're holding it in your hand, you couldn't hold it in your hand. It would be too painful. Now, if I'm a predator, like a mammalian predator or a bird of prey, and I bite this thing, the inside of my mouth is very tender, and so it's going to hurt. Now, that particular tenrec may not survive the bite, but any following tenrecs it winds up to it's going to think twice about grabbing it. So,
Well, he seems a little bit more passive than some of the animals that we've had in the studio before. I'm thinking back to the ferret that did the header in my lap.
Well, we could have brought animals like that, but we decided we'd break you in slowly with these new animals.
This guy is really gentle too. I imagine certainly not in the wild that way, but this guy here is designed kind of to come in and kind of be an ambassador for the small little guys, and he's doing a really good job of it. He's got a really long pointy nose. His face, he almost looks just like a mouse, but then you got this bristly look all the way down the body, just like you would expect in a hedgehog.
Yeah, and it's got that, like you said, that spiky hair that almost reminds me of a porcupine almost type of effect. So,
and you know, what we just experienced here, and the people in the engineering room through the glass, you saw everybody wanted to see the animal, and you know, the reason we use live animals at a zoo, and the reason that pets make such a personal connection to us is there's been all kinds of research, and there's a couple different terms they use. One is biophilia, an innate love for nature, especially live animals. They've done a lot of research at Purdue on something called the human-animal bond, and it's a reason that there's a lot of therapy done with companion animals. And so from an education standpoint, if you could put a little mini camera on my shoulder, or one of our zoo docents, or Jack Cannon, when you're doing a program with the animal, you don't have to worry about being clever. I mean, Jack adds all that stuff to it. You could be pretty awful, and the animal's going to carry you because people are so fascinated. And the big challenge in education is gathering interest and maintaining focus of the audience. You can teach somebody almost anything if they're interested and they're focused. The zoo, whether it's the exhibit animals, we're taking them a tour, or we have live animals out, or outreach at the school or at the senior center, the animal does that for us. So basically, if we don't screw it up by how we present the information or the concepts, the animal's done the hard part for us. And that's why 90% of the accredited zoos have an education collection and have an active program of using live animals. And it's why pets are so popular.
Yeah. I tend to spend a lot of time in the fish department. We could get my wife in here for the bird department or reptile rooms, you know, but my passion is just the fact that, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I have now that I'm older, but for the first 30, 40 years, I've never seen a reef. And yet now I can be that person that actually has every child in the Lansing area that walks in our door, and we have a very well-trafficked store now after 28 years. And their whole perception of nature changes because they're actually connected to it.
Exactly.
And we've had a little bit of fun over the years, the last 10 years. We've actually had a little fun at the zoo because we've been able to be part of your building the reef encounter that you've got there. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, it was a conversation you and I had that led to that being that happening. Rick was rightfully so bragging about that their store was going to be the first MAC certified, reef safe, sustainably harvested and or propagated marine organisms. And, you know, that really fit in with our conservation message. And, you know, as he pointed out, we're almost as geographically far away from a reef as you can get in North America here in Michigan.
Right.
And, you know, amazingly enough, we used to be covered with coral reefs 300 million years ago. And that's where Petoskey stones are, fossilized coral. So
we can't go back there.
No. So, and philosophically, you know, Rick and I are very much on the same wavelength when it comes to, you know, the importance of conservation and making a connection. Obviously, we want to connect with adults, but children, when they're still developing values, if they incorporate an understanding and appreciation for wildlife and wild places and the role that humans play in that, that's the big step, then we've sort of done our job. And the challenge now is demographically, we've changed from a country that two generations ago was primarily rural and suburban. It's now primarily urban and suburban. And we have adults that have never touched a non-human animal before. And we have, there's a national, then kids don't go outside. They don't play outside. There's a national program called No Child Left Inside. They've identified something called nature deficit disorder, where we know that kids even just getting a little experience outside with nature, they're mentally stronger, they learn better, and they're physically healthier. And, you know, zoos are having a big, we have a demonstration backyard habitat, and we're trying to make that the coolest backyard nature experience as we can, just to demonstrate to people you can do that in your own backyard.
Sure. Well, and one of the things that you've talked about, and Rick, I've talked about it with you back in the 80s when you and I met, it was always the education that you provided when I went into your store looking at fish that really inspired me to want to grow from getting in from freshwater into saltwater and expanding my horizons. And the same thing is really true of what you're talking about, Dennis, and what Jack Hanna talked about, which is it's that education that creates the emotional connection, which makes the mind more curious and, frankly, makes you want to expand your horizons and get to know it a little bit better because you're learning about it and there's a joy in that. So I see you two as really being on the same mission with Jungle Jack when it comes to educating folks about animals and not being afraid of them, because as someone who grew up in a pretty sheltered situation where I didn't have exposure to necessarily a lot of these more exotic animals, they're pretty cool. And I've got to say, you learn a lot about how neat nature really can be when you expose yourself to it.
Yeah. And, you know, we're really, really excited, and maybe I'll come back and chat with you guys again about it, but the zoo's making a major, major step. We just got our new 20-year major master plan, and it just is all focused on conservation and education. So we're really excited about it.
Well, fantastic. Dennis Laidler, education curator from Potter Park Zoo, we're so happy to have had you in on the show and sharing with us what you do. And we hope that you'll have a lot of success with your future programs. And a reminder to all of you about coming up, Boo at the Zoo, which is going to be taking place in the next couple of weeks.
Yep, October 23rd and 24th.
Well, we hope that all of you will participate in that and help out the Potter Park Zoo. Rick, it's been a really fascinating show. We got the chance to meet one of your heroes, and we got the opportunity to just have a great conversation. If you missed the conversation and want to go to our website, it's at 1320wils.com. You can listen to our previous shows, you can listen to the show streaming, or you can friend us on Facebook with the Mid-Michigan Pet Pet Expert Talk Show. But on behalf of our producers, Nick Casey and Holly Rotter, and my partner, Rick Proust, this is Lee Cohen saying everybody have a great week, and please, please, please take darn good care of your pets. Have a great week, everybody.